The man widely regarded as the father of Pakistan's nuclear program, Ayub Khan, also ran a clandestine global network that sold nuclear material and technology to Iran, Libya, North Korea, and possibly others. In early May, Pakistan released without charges Mohammad Farooq, a close associate of Ayub Khan. Pakistani Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Tasneem Aslam said this marked the apparent end of Islamabad's investigation into Khan's nuclear network.
As far as we are concerned, this chapter is closed. I would presume that with Dr. Farooq's release, there is a closure to that case.
But speaking recently in Washington, Deputy Assistant Secretary of State for Nuclear Nonproliferation, Andrew Semmel, said Washington still considers the issue open and ongoing.
No, I don't think the case is closed. No.
Semmel said U.S. officials are engaged in what he described as a continuous, deep-seated, serious effort to unravel the Ayub Khan network. But he added that there are many aspects of the case that even he is not privy to, because nearly all of the U.S. investigations are being handled through what he called intelligence channels.
So in a sense, the information is sensitive. It's not out in the public. Shouldn't be out in the public.
The U.S. official added, though, that an independent description of how sensitive this issue is for Washington is, in his words, not inaccurate. He was referring to comments made by Daryl Kimball of the nonprofit Arms Control Association.
My personal hunch is that there are some conflicts in U.S. policy that are leading to this standoff. That is, we don't want to make life too tough on Pervez Musharraf, but we want to get information about the Ayub Khan network at the same time.
Kimball said getting more information about the Khan network involves directly questioning Ayub Khan and other top figures, something the Pakistani government has prohibited. Islamabad has pardoned Khan, who remains under house arrest in the Pakistani capital. Meanwhile, Kimball says the most urgent matter requiring Khan's input is what nuclear technology the network provided to Iran. Specifically, he raised the issue of Iran acquiring a piece of equipment known as a centrifuge, which has compartments that spin around a central axis to separate nuclear materials.
One of the outstanding questions that Mohammed El-Baradei, the IAEA Director General, has is whether P2 centrifuges, more advanced centrifuges, were passed on to Iran. If so, then the timeline for their ability to produce highly enriched uranium could be shorter.
The Ayub Khan network provided nuclear technology to Libya, a country that has abandoned its nuclear program. The network also is believed to have provided material and know-how to North Korea, another country Washington accuses of having a nuclear weapons program. Congressman Ed Royce recently chaired a House of Representatives subcommittee hearing on the nuclear black market run by Ayub Khan. He blamed the Pakistani government for complicity in the Khan case and urged the U.S. government to get tougher on Islamabad.
Pakistan receives some $700 million annually in U.S. aid. President Bush has designated Pakistan a major non-NATO ally. Given this support, the grave consequences of Khan's acts and his relevancy to the Iranian and North Korean crisis of today, the U.S. and the international community should expect more from Pakistan's government.
The congressman heard testimony from outside experts, including independent consultant Leonard Weiss, who said it is crucial that investigators find out more about Khan's activities in other countries.
It is known that he and his associates visited Syria, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Chad, Mali, Nigeria, Niger, and Sudan. What did Khan do there? We need to know, and in detail.
He added that he and many other independent observers do not believe the Khan network has been completely or effectively shut down.
We don't really know to what extent the Khan network has been rolled up, to what extent new additions to the network have been made, and whether increased surveillance of Pakistani nuclear activity is making much of a difference.
Author Andrew Koch, former Washington bureau chief for Jane's Defense Weekly, adds that he thinks many of the network's participants were involved for financial, not geopolitical reasons. He adds that many of them are still there, willing and able to sell to whoever has enough money. Stephanie Ho, VOA News, Washington.